Welcome to the Pascal Gwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered with knowledge that will cause you to rise up and become who God wants you to be. Today's message is, those who honor husbands.
Those who honor husbands. Another group that is not honored the way it should is husbands. Husbands. We want to learn this morning how to treat husbands with dignity. Every one of these groups that you see me mentioning to you, when they are dishonored, when they are disrespected, do you understand? It changes things in the system. And you end up fighting battles that were never meant for you. The Bible in the book of Titus 2, verse 3 to 5, says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live. Not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, and to be busy at home, at home. To be kind. To be subject to their husbands. To be subject. I'm reading the Bible. To be subject. A subject is, it's like you have a master and you have subjects. Titus is saying that the older women should teach the younger women to be pure, to be busy at home, to love their husband and their children, to be self-controlled, to be subject to their husband. Another way to say to be submitted to their husband so that no one will malign the word of God. The problem we have, church, this morning is that older women haven't been doing this job. And because older women haven't been doing this job, we have a whole generation that has risen that is not trained regarding how to behave in this situation. And that is where our problem begins. God made provision that older women should teach the younger ones. And if that teaching was taking place, we will have different homes, we will have different churches, we will have a different world altogether. But the reality is, either the older women are not teaching, or the younger women are not teachable. And because of this break in the chain, a certain generation of women, or shall I say of wives, has risen. I call them the daughters of Vashti. The daughters of Vashti are the result of older women not being able to teach the younger women what should be done. And because these younger women are not taught, they are being coached by another type of older women called Vashti. In scripture, even higher than Jezebel, you want to understand the epitome of dishonoring a husband, like the person who best exemplified what it means to dishonor a husband. Like if you are married to a husband, and if you want to learn the ways to dishonor him, if you want to understand what to do to pain him, to destroy him, you just study Vashti. You go for lessons to Vashti. You enroll in her class. If she takes you for a few weeks, you will become a professional in dishonoring your husband, in disrespecting your husband, in devaluing your husband, in undermining your husband, in rubbishing your husband. Oh, yes. Because this one woman who was married to the most powerful man on earth at that time, I'm not saying to part of the earth, the whole earth. He had more provinces than can be counted. The man was extremely powerful. Gave a simple instruction. I mean, it's not like he says to you, go and work in the farm. Go and work in the farm for the whole week. Then bring the produce of the farm to me and cook it. That was not the instruction. The instruction was not go and clean the floor of my bed or of my bedroom. Simple instruction. Come and show your beauty. Come and show yourself to my guests. Simple instruction. From the most powerful man in the world. Unfortunately, Vashti was never trained. Vashti didn't have somebody training her to know what to do and what to never do. And there are a lot of Vashtis in homes who do as they please. Because why? She's the queen. She's the queen. We have a lot of queens. Esther 1, verse 17 to 20. For the queen's behavior will become known to all women. You see, when one woman does something, a lot of women get to know what she did. And if she got away with it, they will automatically feel we can also get away with it. The queen's behavior will become known to all women, so that they will despise their husbands in their eyes. Which means Vashti despised her husband before the whole country, because King Ahasuerus invited her to come and present herself, and she told him, I will not come. I'm not going to come. It sounds like it's nothing, isn't it? But it became everything. Just like many women do things in the house, and it looks like it's nothing. It looks like it's nothing. And that thing becomes everything, I'm telling you the truth. How can not coming to someone that your husband said come, and you didn't come, how can that become a problem? It's only when you are not trained that you don't think it can become a problem. So I have to now play the role of older women this morning. I have to play the role of that. I have to try. Maybe I'm just trying. I'm trying because some of the Vashti already have certificates. So it will not even be easy, because it will mean that I have to take back the certificates and tell them. But they already have, some already have the certificate, some already have a degree. So it's going to be a problem if we have to look at what the Bible says. If we have to look at what the Bible says. So that when They will disperse their husband in their eyes when they report King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she did not come. This very day, the noble ladies of Persia and Media will say to all king's officials that they have heard of the behavior of the queen. So when they get home, they'll say, ah, I'm sure you heard what Queen Vashti did. So stop commanding me around here. If even the king didn't do anything about it, it means it's normal. It should be like that. The Bible says, thus there will be excessive contempt and wrath. Every time, every house where a man is dishonored, there's anger in that house. There's anger. Even if you are not aware, maybe you are wearing your nice heel, moving around, thinking that everything is okay. I think Queen Vashti was just back there drinking wine, enjoying herself. They said, I know he will be fine. I'll go and see him tomorrow. Anger has entered. Whenever a man is dishonored in his house, there's anger. The Bible says that there will be excessive contempt and wrath in every house. As soon as these women start imitating Vashti, there will be a problem. So if it pleases the king, let a royal decree go out from him and let it be recorded in the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that it will not be altered. That when the king made this decree, it must never be changed. And this is the decree, that Vashti shall come no more before the king. And let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. Let me tell you something. Every wife listening to me, there's always another who is better than you. The reason why Queen Vashti behaved this way is because she didn't think, she didn't even imagine in her wildest dream that there could be anything else apart from her. She felt, I have arrived. I'm the queen. What can happen? I can decide when I go and when I don't go. I'm here. But the Bible is teaching you and me that there's always somebody better. The moment you start misbehaving, somebody else start behaving properly. And there are many ways to be cleared as a queen. It's not only divorce. There are many ways you can be cleared. You must know that. There are many ways to clear you. There are many ways. Oh. Listen to me. It is dangerous to have a job where you cannot be fired. When you have a job and you know you cannot be fired, that becomes your ground for misbehavior. Because you know nobody can fire you. Nobody can fire you. That's the danger of despotism when you are employing your brothers and your sisters in the business. Nepotism. They come and they start misbehaving because in their head, this is my brother's business. Who can fire me? But the other people that are not the brothers, they know they must behave themselves. Otherwise, they'll lose the job. And it's the same thing in a marriage. In a marriage, when certain women believe that they cannot be fired. And especially in the Christian faith where we don't encourage even divorce in the first place. So it becomes they have now landed exactly the way they wanted to land. So they can do anything they want to do. You cannot fire them. You cannot divorce them. Again, they will pull out the scripture. God hates divorce. God hates divorce. And then you are just stuck there. You are just stuck there. You are just stuck there. I will not talk about the divorce today. Because I can show you from scripture that Jesus himself He told people, look, it's 1, 2, 3, but if the person behaves like this, if it's immorality, you can divorce the person. Jesus himself said it. Yeah. This very year in Nigeria, we lost a very powerful musician who was in a bad marriage, killed by her own husband because she couldn't divorce. Because again, we say, no divorce. She lost her life. The man is abusing her in that house every day. But she's just coolly there until she lost her life. So you must understand when it is no more right. When it is no more right. But I'm saying, I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about something else, please. And don't misunderstand me. Vashti shall come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. When the king's decree, which he will make, is proclaimed throughout all his empire, for it is great. You see, the empire of King Ahasuerus was great. When you despise that man there, the repercussions are too much. He says, all wives will honor their husbands. When they hear what has happened to you, do you understand? That is how, at work, that is how it is. When the other employees hear what happened to that one, everybody become cool. Everybody become cool. Everybody become cool. So all wives will honor their husbands, both great and small. Honoring your husband is not about he's a great man, so I will honor him. Even the small husband, you must honor. If he's your husband, you must honor him. Are you still okay? Why must wives honor their husbands? Why? The answer is given to us in the book of Ephesians 5, verse 23. The husband is the head of the wife. To be the head means you are the authority. And we've already learned that to honor, you must honor those in authority. But the husband is the head. Brothers and sisters, I didn't write this. It's in your Bible. I'm reading your Bible to you. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. Now, I know we are saying that there is equality. Do you imagine the church saying to Jesus, we are equal. We are equal here. We are equal here. We are also here. Huh? Because the Bible says, As Christ. So it's the same balance. Are we okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's check the word. The Bible says that all wives will honor their husbands. That is Esther chapter 1 verse 20. All wives will honor their husbands, both great and small. So I'm asking, why must wives honor their husbands? Because the husband is the head of the wife. He's the head. And I want to tell you something. Until you see him as the head, you cannot honor him. Because in every marriage, there's always a power struggle. Every marriage. I mean, we saw it clearly with Adam and Eve. You can clearly see there was a power struggle. As soon as you marry your wife, she starts testing your strength. Oh, yes. She's testing. In fact, sometime before you marry her. Before I marry, she's already testing you to see, can you lead me? Can you lead me? How far? Like she's testing what she can do and what she cannot do. What to you when you are a phlegmatic husband? As soon as she picks up your phlegmatism, do you understand? She will start ruling the house. You start following her like a mouse. I feel sorry for all the phlegmatic husbands that are married to choleric wives. They are the type of husband that will call in the wife, hey, mama, please don't get angry. Mama, please don't get angry. It was just a mishap. Those are the type of husband. He's calling his wife, mama. Phlegmatic, stupid husbands that have just allowed the wife to rule. Mama, please forgive. Mama, forgive. It will not happen again. You can't even believe it. I want to give the wives that are watching this morning a few ways through which you can honor your husband. Because you didn't have older women to help you. So you enter this thing and you feel as if this guy wants to take over. And you feel like you should also do something to prove that you are here. Do you understand? You feel, no, he can't be making all the decisions. I must also do something. And before you realize, it's a fight. So when a decision is made, you want to understand what was your contribution in that decision. If there was no contribution of you in that decision, you oppose that decision. Number one, a wife who honors her husband will respect him. That's the first thing. How do you honor your husband? You honor your husband by respecting him. It's more or less the same with honor and respect. More or less, but I'm just trying to make it clearer to you. Respect your husband. That man that paid Lobola for you. You were not the only woman in the city. I hope you realize that. Then number two, you were not the most beautiful woman in that place. He came for you. Respect him. Respect that man. There are more women than there are men in any city. When a man has singled you out and has put a ring on your finger, and you continue behaving as if it's nothing, you are making a mistake. You are making a mistake. And because the older women are not teaching you these things, I must teach you. Because you feel you are something. But you don't. Look around you and see how many beautiful women are moving around you. And you yourself, you know they're more beautiful than you. You know it. But they are not married. There's no man to marry them. People sleep with them and leave them behind. But as for you, somebody has bowed, bought a ring, went and saw your parents, did all this work. Respect him. Respect your husband. Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. What is respect? Deep admiration and high esteem shown to someone you consider important. Deep admiration and high esteem that you show to somebody you consider the person to be important. So when the Bible says, let the wife respect her husband, So the wife must see her husband as a very important person. Now I want to ask you the question, the way you are treating that man, are you treating him as a very important person? Even in the church, you are treating VIPs better than your husband. The way you talk to him, is it with respect? Do you talk to him in a respectful way? Is there respect in your talk? Is there respect in your behavior? Look at the behavior of Vashti. Was that respect? I'm asking you, was that respect? The behavior of Vashti? This is why there is anger in houses. You must come and find how certain women talk to their husbands. As if he's a small boy. Yeah. The man has even lost the voice because women talk more. So, and she talks and talks and talks and she intoxicates your mind. By the time you realize, you can't even think. Most men run away from their own houses. They can't live there. Because there's no respect in that house. And many teachings that you see taking place in marriages is also because the woman is not respecting her husband. And he goes and finds respect outside the house and goes for it. At home, he's treated like a robber. Yet outside, he's treated like a charmer. With respect. They talk to him in a nice way. What do you think is going to happen? The man will go where he senses the respect. He go where he senses the respect. King Ahasuerus went naturally to Esther and ran away from Vashti. Because of the Christian faith, many husbands cannot divorce their wives. But it will just be, let's just survive. Let's try to survive until Jesus comes to take all of us. Yeah. I say, he has already entered this thing, he cannot come out. He will just be there. You will never see his smile. You will never see certain things about him. You'll just be there and say, hey, you've changed, eh? Of course he has changed. Of course he has changed. What do you expect? Hey, you've changed, eh? When we're dating, you used to, the whole thing has disappeared. In this house where there's no respect, there's no honor to him. He makes his own food. Oh, the food is given to him as if he was a boyfriend. No respect. Nothing. Even boyfriend is treated better. Yeah. There are homes where the husband, the visitor is treated better than the husband. Even the visitor is embarrassed. And the woman will say, no, eat, no, enjoy yourself. You are a host. Stupid woman. Oh, yes. My Bible says in the book of Proverbs 14, a wise woman, she builds her house, but a foolish one. When I say stupid, don't think I'm reading the Bible to you. A foolish one destroys it with her own hands. She destroys her own house with her own hands. Yeah. These daughters of Vashti. Dangerous women, always competing with their husband. Always, there's always a power struggle. Yeah. Number two, a wife who honors a husband will submit to him. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Submit. Submission is the act of accepting and yielding to the will and authority of another person. This is where the rubber hits the road. You see, I can't even go to the other one. You see, these first two. This is where the whole game is played. Submission. Will you say that Vashti was submitted to that guy? Oh. There was a power struggle in the palace. As a matter of fact, if you read the whole thing very well, King Ahasuerus is having a party. Queen Vashti also started another party on her side. Yes. She started her own party, Queen Vashti. Instead of her being moving around, checking if the guests are happy, checking if there is enough drinks, checking if there is ice, she's rather having her own party. This guy has to find his own way, you know, with other people. As if he's not married. Submission, the act of surrendering the power to another person. When a country submits, you see like Ukraine and Russia at the moment, Ukraine doesn't want to submit. They are refusing. No. I'm not submitting. And then, you know, Russia is bombarding. But Ukraine is, you can try. I will not. Ukraine reminds me of many daughters of Vashti. They win. You can do anything you want. I will not submit. I'm standing my ground. I'm standing my ground. You will not move me. You find me like this. Nobody will mess me around. Nobody will mess me around. 1 Peter 3:5-6. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. Another way to show respect to your husband is to call him with sweet names. Some of you are calling your husband by the same name. Johannes, come here. I tell you. Hey, Johannes, they are calling you. Somebody is calling you. Look at you. Sarah is calling her husband, my Lord. You know, I don't even know what it sounds like if my wife was to ever call me Pascal. I've never heard that before. Like, if she was ever to call me Pascal, it would sound, it's my name. But it will sound like, hey, what is this? I'm used to Shushu, my love. I'm used to some freshness. You are here calling your husband, Tapelo, come. Oh. It's a lack of honor. You are calling your husband by his surname. It's a lack of honor. I'm telling you. Somebody is saying, but it is his name. Yes, I know it is his name, but you shouldn't call him like that. Because, I mean, Sarah knew that her husband's name was Abraham. But she's calling him my Lord. My Lord. Sounds nice. I mean, imagine your wife calling you my Lord. What will you not give her? Johannes, come. I need money for grocery. Even if he wanted to give you 2,000 rand, he will give you 200. Just for calling him Johannes. And that name reminds him of the teacher who used to beat him. And the teacher said, hey, Johannes, come here. Now you're also okay. Johannes, take the phone. So, okay. You have replaced my teacher. Receive wisdom in the name of Jesus. Number three, a wife who honors her husband will help him. She will help him. She will help him. Genesis 2:18. The Lord said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper." You are helping. When you help your husband, you are honoring him. You are honoring him. When your husband feels he is not alone in this thing he's doing, you are helping him. Rather than challenging him, opposing him, criticizing him, comparing him with other husbands, you are not helping him. You are not helping him. What does it mean to be a helper? To give assistance, to give support. Most importantly, to give comfort. You see, the Holy Ghost is the helper. And the Holy Ghost is called the comforter. It's a comforter. When the man has had a difficult day and he gets home, you must release your skill of a helper by comforting. You become like a cushion that is made of feathers. When he put his neck on it, he's got a massage. As soon as he gets home, you get some hot water, you start massaging his legs. You give him Italian massage. No matter the demons that were fighting him outside, the anointing will return. The anointing will return. As soon as he enters, hey, you are back, you are back. You know, I was calling you today, you didn't answer. You didn't answer. You are talking to that guy again. I know you're talking to that guy again. But you know, God will vindicate me in this marriage. God will vindicate me in this marriage. I see what you are doing. And I don't even need to say, God will vindicate me. Where is the comfort? Where is the comfort? There's no comfort. This is a pillow that, you know, the pillow that Jacob was using, a stone. Yeah. At least it was the rock of Jesus. I mean, the rock of ages there. Number four, a wife who honors her husband will do him good, not evil. Proverbs 31, verse 11 to 12. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of grain. So she does him good, not evil, all the days of her life. What a commitment. You are doing good to this man, not evil, all the days of your life. I'm reading Proverbs 31. That's the scripture. And that is New King James. Not even like maybe they like. No. I'm reading you the word. Number five. A wife who honors a husband will not deprive him of sex. Depriving your heart. I'm not talking about boyfriend. Listen to me. You guys that are listening to me here. Don't confuse yourself. Don't confuse yourself, please. Then start saying, you heard what pastor said. You heard what pastor said. Are you married? Eh? I'm talking here to husband and wives. Anything you are bringing there, if it is not husband and wife, please, don't even bring it. Don't bring yourself. I'm saying a wife who honors her husband will not deprive him of sex. Many husbands are starving. They are starving like Somalians that haven't seen food. I'm not even talking of eating it. To see it. To even see it. Hey. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Do not deprive your husband. If it is a boyfriend, deprive him. Torture him. Hey, torture him. He must feel it. That's what will make him to marry you if he didn't know. When you start giving him, why will he marry you? You're already giving him everything. But the guy has paid the price. He is now in the house. And you are saying you are interceding. You are fasting. He comes home after a very busy day. He takes a shower. When he's about to eat, you know the things you start saying. You know the things you start saying. Look at yourself. Why did you marry if you know you will be interceding the whole month? Why did you marry? Enter full-time ministry and be a missionary somewhere. There are so many places where you go on missions. Nobody will bother you. Come do this. No. You just pray the whole life. Your whole life. You just pray your whole life. Don't marry somebody, and every time he wants to eat, you say you are interceding. He wants to eat, you say you are this. You say, no. What's that? It's wickedness. He sees it, but he cannot touch it. Six. A wife who honors a husband will not fight with him. Will not quarrel. Proverbs 21 verse 9. Better to live in a corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Not a quarrelsome woman, a quarrelsome wife. The Bible. So a wife can be quarrelsome. And you know, the Bible is showing the picture of a man living with a quarrelsome wife. He prefers to be in the corner of the roof, not even inside the house, outside the house, by the corner of the roof. It's safer there for him than to be in the house with a quarrelsome wife. And some wives are so funny, she will quarrel with him in the presence of visitors. She will quarrel with him in the presence of his mother. She will quarrel with him in the presence of his children. I'm saying because the older women didn't teach us these things. I'm just taking this job upon myself today to teach a little bit on what we should be doing. A wife who honors her husband will not cheat on him. Even in her mind. Proverbs 7, 18 to 20. Come, let's drink our fill of love until morning. Let's enjoy each other's caresses. For my husband is not home. Look at this woman. He's away on a long trip. He has taken a wallet full of money with him and won't return until later this month. This is a wife. I pray this is not your wife, my brother. He can't wait for you to go to work. He said, honey, did you wear your shoes? Wear your shoes. Honey, the bus is about to leave you. Go. All this husband, you feel like the wife is chasing you. Hey, why? Number 8. A wife who honors her husband will not undermine him or question his spirituality. You are questioning the spirituality of your husband because he doesn't go to church. You are dishonoring your husband because you are more spiritual than him. Oh. The way he's going to retaliate, you will not like it. You will forget your tongues. By the time he's done, you will forget the tongues. You could have done it better. Job 2, verse 9 to 10. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." I said, "You are too spiritual, man. I mean, you are pushing this thing too much. I know pastor said we should go to church, but you have now become the bishop. You are not the bishop." The wife of Job is saying to him, "Ah, Bishop Job, Bishop, Bishop, Bishop. You are bishop. You are bishop." They are poking your spirituality. Before you realize you don't even fast anymore. Because the way she will mock you, the way she will speak, you just feel like, I mean, what is the use of this fast? Yeah. They can do it. Number 9. A wife who honors her husband will not mock him because he is not educated. Because your husband is not educated like you are educated, then you mock him, you embarrass him, you insult him. Let's go fast. We are out of time. 10. A wife who honors her husband will not compete with him for leadership. It shouldn't be a competition that who is leading today. That was the problem of Eve. She took something that God didn't intend for her. Look at us. 9. All that I'm saying, I'm not trying to say a woman cannot do this. I'm just showing you the Bible. Like there's there's a concession for all these things. But many of these women that are married today, they were never trained. Nobody ever taught them anything. So they are just wild donkeys all over the place. Like they are just wild. Yeah. And the homes are not working. The homes are not working. A wife who honors her husband will not influence the children against him. 13. A wife who honors her husband will pray for him often. 14. A wife who honors her husband will not criticize him publicly or privately. 15. A wife who honors her husband will support him in the work of ministry. Go check Aquila and Priscilla. Priscilla supported her husband until she even became the leader of the whole thing. Lastly, 16. A wife who honors her husband will not change his will or contradict his decisions. Rebecca hears that her husband is saying that he's going to bless Esau. She goes behind, changes that whole thing. Oh my God. This is her wife. She knows very well that this is what my husband said. As soon as he turned his back, she changes it. She changes it. And you know, even though what Rebecca did, that is Genesis 27, verse 6 to 8. You know, it might appear, I mean, but she was following God, this and this and that. Why is again Jacob begging for a blessing in the night fighting if he was blessed? Why is he again saying, unless you bless me, you cannot go? Because the thing was not working. And by the way, Rebecca, from that day, she disappeared from the Bible. That was her last talk in the whole Bible. After this, because she has said, because her son, Jacob said to her, "Look, what if my father discovered that I'm not Esau, I'm rather Jacob. He's going to curse me." You know what Rebecca said? She said, "Let that curse fall on me." And that curse really fell on her. Because from that day, Rebecca disappeared from the Bible. You never hear about her forever. Wives that change the decision of their husbands. He can even write the will and say that this is what must happen. Ah! And my husband was not wise. He was a Nabal. You know Nabal? The husband of Abigail. Abigail is going to David. Instead of her just defending her case, the way she came to defend it, she must insult her husband before David to appear nice. They say, ah, king, don't worry about that stupid fool. Call Nabal my husband. Read your Bible. Those are her words. You know, you can still win in a different way. No wonder as soon as he died, she went and married the guy. Like, I mean, I don't even think she mourned him or anything. She didn't. She just left him. Yeah, he was stupid, but you are married to him. You are married to him. And there's a commitment when you are married to somebody. There's a commitment. Show honor to some degree. And God will fight what you cannot fight. My dear sisters and daughters, I have shared a few thoughts this morning on the issue of honor. I know your hearts are hot. Yo, I know. But that is because such things are not said often. And I know that you might even be feeling that, what about this? What about this? What about this? I know what about this? What about this? I know that, but I'm not talking about it today. Today I'm teaching you to honor your husband. Thank you, Pastor. Learn to honor that man. He is dishonored in so many places. You make it worse when your house becomes one of those places. You really make it worse. Make sure that at least at home, he is honored. Honor him with your words. Encourage him. Honor him by supporting him, by comforting him, by helping him, by submitting to him. Gently helping him. Even when you see something is wrong, there's a way you speak. And most of the time, you don't even need to speak to him. You speak to God. And God will correct it. Even the Holy Ghost, who is God, doesn't force his will on us. You are also a helper. Why are you forcing your will so much? Every way. This morning, I believe, just like what happened that day in the kingdom of King Ahasuerus, there will be order restored in homes. I want to remind you once again, your husband is the head according to scriptures. They say, now with this type of man cannot be my head. Then you could have just said no to him. You had a choice. Don't say yes to somebody, then the next thing you are not challenging his authority. We always say to you people, take your time about these things. Once you say yes, the person has become your head. From that moment, you submit. So if you don't like to submit to him, don't marry him. Because as soon as you marry a person, you have to now submit to the person. Now, all these fights we are having, because people married, but they didn't marry the person, they were marrying the wedding. Yeah, it was about the wedding. Now after the wedding, there's no more. You have to get to the work. And they're not ready to work. And we start having frictions in the marriage. Because people didn't marry the person. They married the idea of marriage. And now that the marriage has happened, there's nothing to celebrate. People are no more clapping for you. People are no more saying anything to you. You are not normal again. You are just a housewife now. You are just a missus. We are looking for the next bride. And all of a sudden you realize you are no more the bride. You now need to get back to work. And you are not ready to work. Then we start having unnecessary frictions in the house because you are still seeking for the attention of the wedding day. The wedding has passed. It's time to get to the marriage and to start living according to the word of God in this marriage. I will talk to the brothers one day, but today I'm talking to the wives. Yeah. May God help us. Maybe you want to stand on your feet this morning and just ask God to give you a new heart. And maybe just thank Him first, because even though this is hurting, even though it is painful, it is good pain. It is the pain you get at a gym. It's a good pain. It makes you strong. It's not the pain of coronavirus and all these other things. This is a good pain. Lord Jesus, help me submit. Help me help. Help me respect. Help me to not criticize. Help me to not equalize. And the husbands that are here, pray against the spirit of melancholism and the spirit of phlegmatism. Pray against wrong heads, that you shouldn't be a wrong head, that you are also difficult to follow because you are a stupid head. Pray for that. That God will help you to be a good head, to be a faithful head, to be a powerful head. A head that your wife can follow joyfully and gladly. Being a head doesn't mean because you are the head, you can just go anywhere. It's a big responsibility, my friend. Everybody be in prayer around the name of Jesus. Shiba deba zepre kana velema. Shaba debe zepre kando namasabra kento zuka palamen. E tu valamende se brecanto polamende salavrende. Je prende si calevre, ce preca sopra la mente. Assamenave e precatova. Oh, Holy Ghost, descend in your power. Holy Ghost, descend in your grace. And touch our hearts this morning. Touch our hearts this morning. Touch our lives this morning. Precious anointing, touch us today. Let our hearts change. Let there be a new spark in homes. And give to many of us the courage to listen to this word again. The courage. We're going to need courage to listen to something that is really not a nice news at that time. But I pray that the wisdom to grow will help us to listen to it again. To listen to it again. Shibeda brazeka prokola mendo namasave. Jata prekoza belemanda. Menteze brekazo brelemande siketema. Lord, let there be honor towards husbands. Let there not be competition and fights. But let there be honor in homes. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. The good work you have begun in certain homes, Lord, today, you will complete it in the name of Jesus. Right about now, I want to pray for somebody that is watching me. And you are not born again. You know, the first thing that I've taught you a few weeks ago, that the greatest honor you can show to God is the honor of accepting His Son. That was the greatest thing God ever gave us. God gave us gold, that's great. Gave us silver, platinum. But the greatest gift God gave you and me is Jesus Christ. This morning I want to ask you this question. Are you born again? Are your sins forgiven? If you are not born again, I want to lead you in a prayer that will help you do just that. At the count of three, you are saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be saved. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to become a new person. I'd like to pray for you. If that is you, can just raise your right hand at the count of three, and Pastor will pray for you. 1, 2, 3. Raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. Now, you're already born again, but this morning you feel like recommitting your life to Jesus, opening your heart to Him. You've gone astray in one way or the other. And the word has come and you just feel like recommitting yourself, both to God and to those that you should. At the count of three, I want to pray for you. And you will recommit your life to Christ. 1, 2, 3, raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my heart to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me.
I believe you died for me.
On the third day you rose again.
That I might be justified.
Right now,
I believe
my sins are forgiven.
I'm justified by your blood.
I'm saved.
I'm restored.
I'm born again.
I'm a child of God.
I am free from the power of sin
to serve the living God.
Thank you, Jesus,
for receiving me.
Thank you, Jesus,
for restoring me.
Thank you, Jesus,
for saving me.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.